You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton, bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. We're greeting you again on WCNO Radio. This is Pastors Gene and Donnie Hilton, and we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And we're going to talk about some interesting things today. In fact, we got two topics, and so we're going to combine them somehow. I'm going to talk about the transfiguration and also a thing called persecution that we're all going to go through. The Bible says why? If we love Jesus, we're going to be persecuted in this life whether we like it or not. And it happens whether we like it or not, but we have to be able to accept it and go on with it. So we're honored to be here with you. We welcome all you listeners, no matter where you are. Someone right now is listening, I know, for the first time. And we've had people call and say, "Wow, I didn't know you were on the radio." And we got other people who've been listening for 10 or 15 or 12 years or more, you know. So we greet all of you, and we welcome you. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks, our sister church over on Andros Island, the Church of God over there. And we just praise God for them, what they're accomplishing and doing over there. It's called the Temple of God. It's on conch sounds. You know, they don't have a shofar like we have, but they took a conch shell, drilled a hole in it, and when you blow it, it sounds just like a shofar. So they blow that up and down conch sound when they walk and they pray. So we greet them as well. We know they're listening and they're with us, and they're incredible. They pray for us constantly. Yes. So we thank you for all of you that's prayed for us. You know, we're out of the hospital again. I was in the hospital Amen. Again for almost 2 weeks. So we thank you for all your prayers as they go up, and we know that God does answer prayer, and He certainly does. And so we just have to trust Him, don't we?
Yes.
So
Amen.
We hope you can stay Praise tuned God. In for the whole program and be blessed with what you hear today. Not because of us, but because it's going to be the Word of God yeah. and the Spirit that's behind His Word. And we send it out on the wings. Hoko
Santaraba. Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God on the wings of the Spirit of God that's going to penetrate hearts
yes,
to hear what you want us to know
Hallelujah.
This day and this hour. And all this lukewarmness, we got to get through all this and be on fire. There's got to be a fire started.
Amen.
You know, a true revival is going to bring a fire. You know, revival means you must have had something you had before and you let it go, so you got to be revived again. Well, we want to be revived all the time.
Amen.
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 So glory be to God. All right, Pastor Donna.
We need to be excited, right, for the Lord. Amen. Because the days are short. The days are short, and every single day makes it shorter, right? Because
right.
we don't really know exactly, but we know we're near the end of time. I do want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey as well, and so
yes.
does everyone else that's here with us. We have several people with us that may be sharing a little bit. I'm going to give our phone number in just a few minutes, so get a pencil and or pen, and you can jot it down. We're going to have a wonderful guest with us next Saturday, next Shabbat. But this Saturday, we do have Shabbat at 2 o'clock, so come and celebrate and worship God with us, because the Spirit testimony of Jesus is
the spirit of prophecy.
Amen. And we're going to have Shabbat this coming, well, today, and at 2 p.m. is at the Alliance Church at 445 Southeast Osceola Street in Stuart, Florida, right near the hospital, downtown hospital, the North Hospital. Actually, it's called the Cleveland Clinic now.
Yes.
Praise God. for that. And he was in the hospital for more than 2 weeks. It was drooling. But we are, praise God, he's out, and we're just going to have to trust God the rest of the way. Amen?
That's right.
There's nothing else to do but trusting God. So I want to mention that Sharon is with us, and she's going to tell us a little bit about Bree Keaton. Bree Keaton will be with us on Saturday, the
August the 10th at 1 p.m.
Yes.
Also at the Stewart Alliance Church, where she just announced, 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And she will also be Sunday morning at 9:30 at Abundant Life Church, 201 Southwest Flagler Place, downtown Stewart, by the old Roosevelt Bridge. Dr. Bree has two doctorates, both theology and administration and education. She's a professor at Faith Bible College, where she serves on the board of directors and research. Dr. Bree is also a worldwide evangelist. She also has written many books, a psalm recording artist, and has many CDs. And she's been on the 700 Club, TBN, ABC, NBC, CBS, It's Supernatural, The Prophecy Club, and many, many more places. And she's worldwide famous, and she's coming to Stewart to teach us from the Word of the Lord. She goes to the Pygmies, which is in the Congo, and she rescues them from the trees and brings them out of the trees and wins them to the Lord and sets them up in little villages. And she also brings the medicine, sends doctors and food and supplies. She will be here, and she will be actually taking up a donation to help out the Pygmies for over there, because right at the moment they are in a worldwide crisis. They have Ebola that has broken out over there in the Congo.
Yeah.
So they are in need of medicine at the moment. And we do appreciate you coming out to see and to learn about Dr. Bree and the Pygmies that she's helping win to the Lord. And we hope to see you there. It will be a great time.
Amen.
Praise God. And many, many more things. She's written several books. One is about the Jezebel spirit, and about healing and deliverance, and several books, one about America. And she knows much things that are going on politically, and also...
And under stuff that's undercover.
Right. So come, and I know you will be blessed. She's in Florida right now going to other churches, and she's also, which Sharon had mentioned, she's a prayer walker. We walk the city here, the triangle of the city here, and she goes to many places and takes people to walk and to take back the ground. Amen. Because, you know, God has given us power and authority.
Amen.
And we're to take back the ground. Amen. So
yes.
I'm going to give our phone number here if you'd like to have any more information, but I think Sharon gave you plenty. The other thing I might mention is you could look her up on the internet, and you can go to her website. Just type in Dr. Bree, B-R-E-E. Last name is Keaton, K-E-Y-T-O-N, and you'll be able to find her very easily, and you can see the Pygmies and all the pictures, and you can see all the material she has, and she will have books with her and materials and everything that she has, because it's college courses, and praise the Lord. Well, also her website is called www.worshipingwarriorsfellowship.com. But I always just type in Bree Keaton. She's quite
well known.
So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. So we're blessed to have her again here in Stewart at Spirit of Prophecy, and also at Abundant Life Ministries on Sunday at, you said 9:30, right?
Yes.
And she will be with us on Saturday at 1 p.m. So come out, and I know you will be blessed. Okay, Pastor Gene, what do you have to share with us today?
You know, I've taught this many times over the years in our almost 35 years 25 years or better at the church, but I don't think I've ever talked about this on the radio, at the Transfiguration. And there's a
Transfiguration, is that what you said?
Transfiguration.
Okay.
And we're going to read a little bit of this, and I want to show you something very prophetic that God had a purpose for this. But we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 16, the very last verse. And it says here, "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Well, they could not live long enough to ever have that happen, could they? There's no way. So, what's he talking about? There's going to be a handful of men that are going to get to see Jesus before this. And then we go right into chapter 17, and listen to this now. "And after 6 days," there's right now, we've gone almost 6,000 years since Adam was on the earth. We're looking to this seventh day to start, but we're going to go through Jacob's trouble first. But this 6 days is important. Jesus taking, he to who? Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart. "And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Now you wonder why the Lord would do that at this particular time. But he was going to show them something of the future that we got to talk about prophetically. Now if you think about it, when we read the Bible, there's going to be three groups of people that's going to go into the kingdom of God. There'll be those that die, that know Christ, and be raised from the dead. There'll be those that'll be caught away, and there's going to be a group of people that's going to walk into the kingdom in their physical bodies that survived Jacob's trouble, and it's all in the Word of God. That's the three groups. They're all revealed right here prophetically, and God wanted us to know this. So now we go to verse 3. "And behold, there appeared unto them" who? "Moses and Elias," or Elijah, "talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles." He thought they were in the kingdom immediately. Because tabernacles is about the kingdom.
That's right, yes.
One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. So we think about this. So we got Moses and Elijah that God allowed to appear to these three men to see this prophetic picture of the future showing what's going to happen. Moses died. That's showing the prophetic picture of those that will die and be raised from the dead at the end in Christ. And then we have Elijah. He was caught off the earth. He never died. And we got people saying he's going to come back and be killed and all this stuff. God, there's nothing in the Bible that even compares to anybody ever having that happen to them. You know, if they were, you know, like having Enoch come back, put him in a body again, and then kill him, and then take him back to heaven. It doesn't make any sense. There's nothing in the scripture that show that would ever happen, okay? So then we have Elijah. So here we have these three groups. We have those that die in the Messiah, represented by Moses. And then we have Elijah, the ones that'll be caught away. And then we got who? We got Peter, James, and John and all of them there. They're going to go into the kingdom in their physical bodies. So Peter thought immediately that they were in the kingdom. And these are the guys that we just read about in chapter 16, verse 28. "Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." They're going to see it. They saw this in this vision. So verse 4 again in 17. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face," wouldn't we? "And were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." So the vision disappeared, didn't it? Only the Lord was there. Verse 9, "As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him about him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah or Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But this will clarify some things that people, I think, taught the wrong way. Verse 12, this is the answer. "But I say unto you that Elias," or Elijah, "is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. So he's telling us right here that the Elijah to come was John the Baptist. So is there going to be another one come? We don't know for sure, but it appears that way in Elijah, or I mean in the Bible about Elijah. But is it going to be Elijah? Is God going to send him back to the earth after he was caught off the earth, send him back to the earth, and then he's going to be killed in the streets, resurrected before everybody, and then he's going to come back at the end? There's no precedent in the scripture anywhere of someone going and having that done twice. So how do we come up with this stuff? But we do. So we got to look at the scriptures. Jesus right here is just trying to tell us the group that's going to be there in the kingdom and how they're going to get there. Mm-hmm. That these are the only three ways to get into the kingdom of God. You know, we hear people like Oprah and all these on TV telling there's 12 or 13 ways to get to the kingdom of heaven. That's a false narrative. It's not true. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. Amen. No one else.
Amen.
And so this is it. And so this is what Yeshua was revealing. Peter, James, and John, they were fortunate to get a glimpse of it early, didn't they?
That's
to
right.
See what was going to happen. So no wonder they had a great... John, you know, John loved Jesus with all of his heart. He was really close, and his brother as well. And then we have Peter. Peter did a lot of dumb, stupid things and said things, didn't he? But Jesus realized that, and he knew where he was coming from. But at the end, Peter realized that Jesus was the whole answer. And, you know, he died... He was hung on a cross. He wanted to be hung upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to die the way my Lord did. So they nailed him to a cross upside down. That's how he died. That's how much he loved the Lord. Hallelujah.
Peter's also the one who realized that Jesus was the Lord.
That's right.
Because he said
that's
that. Right. You know, he's the one who realized
that's
that.
Right.
He said that.
And
that's right.
He had a boldness that maybe some of the others didn't have. And sometimes when you have such a boldness, you know, you just go a little bit, you know, like he told him, you know, don't go. He didn't want him to be killed. But he had that boldness. But you know what you were saying here about John the Baptist being the Elijah. So
right.
John the Baptist wasn't Elijah, the Elijah that was taken away. No, he was the Elijah that was to bring forth.
The forerunner for Christ.
The forerunner for Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. So that could be, if we look at that example that way, we could say, well, there'll be another forerunner that's going to come at near the end with, you know, these two that will die in the street.
And I got an appendix in my book about that. And I don't believe it's going to be the Elijah that died or didn't die and was caught off the earth. I don't believe it's going to be some other man that's going to have the power and anointing that he had. And so we keep looking for Elijah to come back.
That's right.
The one that went, he's in heaven. You know, God's going to put him in a physical body and put him, you know, it don't make sense. Okay.
Thank
now
you,
look
Lord.
At this in chapter 16. Remember when Jesus asked who his disciples thought he was? Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I'm sorry, let me read verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the answer. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, it doesn't mean a huge rock like Gibraltar, it's like a pebble. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We can forbid and we can allow, can't we? But I want you to look at verse 17 here. Jesus called Peter Simon Bar-Jonah.
Yes.
What does Simon's name mean in the Hebrew? It means to what? To hear or to listen. Now, Bar-Jonah is an interesting thing. Bar is a word in the Hebrew that means thee. Who was Jonah? What was Jonah's name? Huh? Do you remember what Jonah's name meant? Huh? Come on.
Dove.
The dove, that's right. So he's telling them, listen to the dove, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. What an anointed few verses that we have here about the Messiah, and he's revealing all this to us to know how things are going to come down to a conclusion. And I get excited about it.
Mm-hmm. And what does the dove represent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Listen to the Spirit. That's
he
right.
He heard the Spirit of God speak to him.
That's right.
And that was before the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because everyone has to hear the Spirit, is drawn by the Spirit of God before they're saved. So if somebody's listening, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will draw you to come to Him, and then and you get born again. You
right.
become a child of God. Amen.
Yeah.
I like what it says over here, Pastor Gina says, after 6 days. So that means, like, you referred that to after 6,000
years.
And that we've come to that place already.
We're almost there, yeah.
We're already there. Mm-hmm. And I like also, too, about this transfiguration because, well, you know, Dr. Bree Keaton's going to come, and she's going to talk about the glory. Whoa, hallelujah. What does the glory do? The glory releases the anointing, the power,
the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost,
the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys. It's the manifestations. So if this was a manifestation that they had in a vision, right? And like you said, they thought they were in the kingdom.
That's right.
They thought they were in the kingdom.
That's the first thing Peter thought about.
They fell down on their face.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, you know, what happened, how Jesus was changed. You know, here he was standing in flesh and blood. Just like, you know, hadn't been to the cross yet, and here he was, and he says, and was transfigured before them, and it says his face did shine as the sun. Yeshua, Jesus Christ's face was shining as the sun, and
his
raiment,
the world,
his
yeah.
clothes were white as light. You know how white that is? That's a white that we really haven't seen,
yeah.
and we don't even know how to experience. Wow. But we'll see that kind of white when we are transformed, when we see heaven. And then also you're talking about Moses. Moses died, right?
Right.
But Elias didn't die. So we see two different types of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One who died and who was buried, and nobody knows where
nobody
he was buried.
Where.
Nobody knows where. They looked for him. They
right.
could not find him. And what happened to Elijah?
He was caught off the earth.
Elijah was caught off in a chariot of fire in the glory of God.
And we got a group of people today trying to tell you that Moses was caught off the earth as well. But my Bible says he died.
Yes.
I don't need anything else from anybody, man or woman. He died.
Amen.
And they make up this stuff that he was caught off the earth. The Bible doesn't say that.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
Put all this in and just confuses what God's wanting us to know at this time and season. Amen. Like, you know, the Jews are waiting for this Elijah to come at their Seder every year. Okay, one year it's going to happen. Well, what Elijah will that be? Will it be the one that was in heaven? No. There's going to be another one come. His name's not going to be Elijah, but he's going to have the same power,
anointing
right. and authority that Elijah had. He's going to be the one that's going to sit in that seat. So we got to get things right in our mind. We can't go stuff contrary to the Word of God. As I said before, there's no precedent that anyone was ever caught off the earth, brought back and
right.
put in a physical body again, and then come back again and then die. It's not in the Word of God.
So what?
And they use a scripture from Hebrews. It's appointed to men to die once, and then what?
And then?
the judgment.
And judgment is going to come.
Judgment will come.
It yes. will come.
And it's interesting, you know, this was a vision.
That's right.
This was a vision.
With our Lord.
With the Lord. The Lord was standing there, but the other two were, it was a vision with him.
Right.
And, you know, he was literally changed with the sun and the white, his clothes and everything. But you think about Moses. You said Moses died. But Moses, when his body was put in the ground, right?
Yes.
But where was his spirit and soul?
With the Lord.
With the Lord. With the Lord. Same as with when somebody who dies now, who knows Yeshua, their spirit and their soul will be with the Lord.
To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen. To be absent from the body is what?
Present with the Lord.
We have a nice group here, praise God.
Yeah.
So we can see that. He's showing us two different types of people.
Three types.
Yes. But I'm thinking about Moses and Elijah.
Yes.
You know, Elijah was caught up and in his body. If it was changed in the sky, I'm sure it must have been, because you know how he had to have been transformed.
Just like Enoch, he was.
Just like Enoch. The only two people, right, that we know of. So, praise God. This is an awesome picture of the glory, how God reveals the glory.
And we're coming to this time.
And I think about when Bree comes, she is going to teach on the glory. She will release the glory. You know, we can have the glory.
That's right.
We can have the glory. We can walk in the glory. Amen. We can walk in that anointing.
Amen. All right.
So I wanted to just say before the
next
person speaks, amen, that we will be having, if you're just tuning in, we will have Dr. Bree Keaton with us on Saturday the 10th at 1 o'clock. So remember, it's 1 o'clock. Today we will have a service at 2 o'clock, but we want to give her a lot of time to share because she has a lot to give us
sure
in those hours that she'll be with us at 1 o'clock next Saturday, that would be August the 10th. Amen? Mm-hmm. So come out. It's at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And you can call us at area code 772-285-7007. Now, we have...
Now,
what?
We're honored to have...
Amen.
Melody back, and we got Margie on here, and we got Sharon and Bob sitting back here, and we're glad to have them back. So, you know, she's going to talk about persecution. Yeah. Well, now this fits right in with what mm-hmm. we're talking about. This can fit right in. So you got it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Gene. And what a great word that, you know, you've left us with such a blessing. And we want to continue, Pastor Gene, with that blessing with the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, open up your Word of the Bible to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go over verses 35 through 39. And I just pray that God will give you an ear to listen and a heart open to receive the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin the Word with verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Everybody say conquerors.
Conquerors.
Conquerors through him that loved us.
Yes.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Yeshua, our Messiah, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And this is for you, believers. This is for you to find the security in our Father. This is where he's talking about there's nothing that can separate his love for us. Can we separate? Absolutely.
Yeah,
we can separate very easily from that love due to circumstances in our lives as well. But he is letting us know through the Word of God, I love you. I love you. And no matter what, my love will never leave you.
That's right.
It's always with you. So I believe there's a brother or sister that needs to hear that. I believe there's a little discouragement going on today in your hearts because sometimes you feel you've been abandoned or you've been left out. Or maybe God, you've been praying. Maybe it's for that healing that you've been waiting so long to be healed.
Amen.
And
amen.
In the Word of God, you can say, how long, O Lord?
How long?
How long, O Lord? And you know what happens, unfortunately? Sometimes we will, instead of leaning into the Word of God, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we go away from the Word of God. Sometimes that we just feel that we get discouraged and we start getting anxiety and depression because we feel like we have been petitioning and praying,
yep.
Brothers and sisters, but time. It's a long time since I've been healed. So yeah, you may say that, but I want to say it's time to lean in, brothers and sisters. Don't back away when you were going through these trials and the persecutions and desolations. Don't go. Don't lean out. Time to lean in. Get into that Word of God. Start standing on the promises of God. And
Amen.
He said that ones that are sick, he says you're healed. So
yes.
Praise to God. Start giving him thanksgiving for that.
Yes.
Okay, so now what I'd like to do, everyone, I'd like to break this down. And how we're going to do this, we're going to break it down verse by verse. We're going to start with verse 35, if you will. We're going to break it down. Okay, here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, that's a question, Sharon. He's asking a question. He's saying, who shall separate us? So what they're saying is separate means divide. Who can divide me from you? Who can do that, he's saying. Now, all these things are going to come upon us, Sharon. Since, for instance, say, okay, tribulation.
Yeah.
Okay, and we know distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword. Okay, I have some correlating verses that I'd like to read with that, because remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. So so what I'd like to do, maybe Marge, if you would be so kind, maybe you could take Matthew chapter 5, verses 10, 11, and 12. And Sharon, could you be so kind to take a verse as well? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Okay. Okay, and Bob, could you take one, please? Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 through 10. Okay, while they're looking up those words, I want to kind of, while they're looking up the scriptures, there's a couple key things, tribulation that you're going to hear in the word, and distress and persecution. And I really kind of will homing on is the persecution, because I believe God has put that on my heart. And I believe that it's to share that. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to some about some correlating verses with this. Okay, Marge, I believe you had one. Can you share that, please?
Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted, yes, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's break that down, Marge. Okay, what does that say to you? Okay, so if we're going through these things, what does the Lord say about that?
He stays right by our side.
Okay, what else does he say? He says we're blessed.
We're blessed. Count all joy on every side.
Absolutely. And you know what, everyone here and our listeners, we're going to go through this. If you're a believer in Christ, we're going to walk through these things. But he's saying, you're blessed, Marge. You're blessed, Sharon, and Pastor Gene, and Pastor Donna, and Bob. We're blessed, and brothers and sisters. We're blessed because we're going to go through this. And, okay, I think we have another one. Okay, Sharon, okay, do you want to share that, First Peter? Chapter 5, verse 1 through 7.
The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Mm-hmm. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him.
Amen.
For he careth for you.
Wow. I love the words, Sharon, all. All our cares we cast upon him.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And Bob, would you like to wrap us up with your one?
2 Corinthians chapter 6. At verse 4, Paul is speaking. He says, we then as workers together with him, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet alway rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things.
Amen. 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 What does that speak to you, Bob? I mean, for me, I think about always rejoicing in the midst of all those. Can you relate to that, Bob?
I have never been in a situation where I was persecuted like is speaking here, in stripes and imprisonments and labors in fastings. But I know that as a believer, sharing the word of Christ, we will face adversary. That's a promise that we're given. But it is the joy of the Lord and the knowledge of his love and his personal presence that enables us to continue in the face of hardship.
Absolutely, Bob. I like that very well. And I know you just bless the listeners as well. And when you can just imagine going through things like that, and what does our Father tell us to do in the midst of all those things?
Rejoice evermore.
Rejoice.
In all things give thanks, for this is the will of Christ, in will of God, in Christ Jesus concerning you.
And Bob, Amen. Yes, and Bob, may we all be found doing that as well. and our listeners. And also, I'd like to share one last verse before we really just kind of jumping into persecution. Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 through 17.
Amen. 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God.
Hallelujah.
And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give a big hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, and also we can find in Matthew chapter 24, verses 8 through 9, all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they shall deliver to you tribulations and will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And you'll find that in Matthew 24, verses 8 through 9. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what is persecution? Okay, in a dictionary, it describes this hostility and ill treatment, especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs. Okay, let's now apply that to our Christian faith. What does that mean, being persecuted in our Christian faith? That means also enduring hostility.
That's right.
And unfair treatment because of your words or deeds in the name of the Yeshua, the Messiah. Okay, that ill treatment, what will it look like? It can look like ridicule. You endure for wearing a cross to school, or you work all the way to being martyred for your faith. Anything like that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever taken a stand for your faith?
I have.
Yeah.
Amen.
Many times at work. I used to work.
But if you haven't, if you've never taken a stand for your faith, then you will never have to worry about persecution.
That's right.
For example, students, if you remain quiet when a professor is ridiculing the Bible and blaspheming God,
that's right.
Don't worry. You will never have to worry about getting a lower grade. Pastors, if you are a pastor who never speaks out against moral issues in the world, don't worry, pastor. You don't have to worry about being criticized by people, both on the inside and outside of the church. Mm-hmm. And parents, if your parents aren't Christians, you never have to talk to them about their need for Christ. Mm-hmm. So if I'm talking to maybe teenagers out there and you're living with parents that aren't Christians and you aren't sharing the word, I just want to say don't worry, because you don't have to be worried about being thrown out of the house or anything being said to you. But if you're married to a non-Christian and you surrender to your mate's desire to quit going to church, then you don't have to worry. You have to worry about disharmony in your marriage. But if you take a stand for Yeshua, Messiah, our Christ, then I want to say get ready.
That's right.
Battle up. Mount up, because you're going to suffer. So what should we be doing to prepare for persecution? Well, Peter says it. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing.
That's it.
As though some strange things was happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, just as like Bob said, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may receive, we may rejoice in the exaltation. So these things are going to come, brothers and sisters, but count it all joy.
That's what it
count
says.
It all joy. It says sometimes we're surprised when we suffer for Christ's sake, and we think, I'm supposed to get a reward for doing this? But Peter says, don't be surprised when you suffer for Christ, because he adds that word beloved. Beloved means deeply loved by God, deeply loved by God. And so when you suffer in the workplace, in the relationship at school, also maybe being, you know, having parents that aren't Christians, and pastors, how about you? Remember why you're suffering and count it all joy.
That's what it says in James.
Because that's the cost that we pray.
Yeah.
Okay, brothers and sisters, I want to share something with you. Right now, the persecution of the church has escalated. It has risen more in 2019. Than ever before. Right now, we have about 10 persecuted churches that we need to be praying for. North Korea, Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Sudan, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, and Eritrea. And where is Eritrea? That's in the East African. That's in Africa. And it's in the East African country in the Horn of Africa. Persecution is great in these places. Just for Eritrea, just for an example, what they do is they put you in a cargo, kind of like they imprison you in a shipping container and out in the desert heat, and they just leave you to die. Okay, and that's just a few things about it. The persecution is great, not only for us believers here. As Bob says, you know, Melanie, I haven't really experienced what the imprisonment and all that we've gone through. We haven't. But who's to say yet, brothers and sisters, that we will?
It couldn't
and
happen.
It can right. happen. It can happen very quickly as well. So I think right now that that with the persecution, I want to ask you our application to leave here for today. You may say, okay, I hear what you're saying. What can I do? What can I do? Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you can do a lot. First of all, learn about these churches.
That's
learn
right.
about their locations, where they are.
Pray for them.
Begin to pray, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
I'm talking about fervent prayer, going and petitioning before the Lord. You can write letters of encouragement, even donate, advocate. And also churches, pastors, you may say, okay, I know, I see, I fear that. I fear the Lord speaking to my heart. And what can I do in our church? You can do a lot in your church. You can designate a place inside your church for the persecuted church and the persecuted believers. You can have information. Educate the believers. Educate the people in your church. You know, begin to start praying as a whole for the persecuted church. There's things that we can do that. And there's things that we're called to do. So I just kind of want to leave this. I pray that the Lord puts this on your heart. As you can tell, brothers, that he's put it so on my heart.
Amen.
About the persecution.
Yes.
And yet we have to encourage each other, our brothers and sisters, because you do not know when the Lord will call you out, and he may send you to one of these persecuted nations that you may have to go through persecution. You don't know. But all I can tell you, brothers and sisters, get ready. Get ready.
But you think about it, Melody. Think about it. Even in our country right now, the church is suffering persecution greatly. You know, everybody wants anything that's going on. They want anti-God. God's out of everything. Mm-hmm. And who's standing up and speaking for that? We got to have those bold people to stand up and declare that we're not going to tolerate it. But we don't see that with the political issues and all the rest of the stuff that's going on and the sin that's in this country, you know. So if we stand up, we're going to be persecuted, I'll tell you.
But Pastor Gene is exactly what I said. And taking it home into the churches and the pastors, if we hear this going on and we do not start standing up for what is truth.
And what's right, yeah.
That's right. Then you know, we're going to be accountable for this. But first of all, is we have to stand up. We have to stand up. And I pray, as Pastor Donna said about the boldness of Peter, may God give us the boldness
Amen.
Of Peter.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
We
Amen.
Do need the
Amen.
Boldness of Peter.
Sure
you know, Peter at one point, he denied the Christ. Denied Jesus Christ
three times.
But yes. You know what? God forgave him. Jesus forgave him as well. And he became one of the greatest ones who go out and say, you know, I'll be crucified upside down.
He was.
And he suffered greatly, not only that. And Paul suffered greatly. And he was a Jew of Jews, a Pharisee. He knew all He knew the word of God, and he was out just killing the Christians, and you know, he was standing right there when Stephen was stoned, you know, and God saw the glory was on Stephen. We're talking about releasing the glory. Bree Keaton's going to release the glory in this city, and she's going to be in two different churches, a prophetic church, and I don't know what kind of church you'd call a Jonathan's church, Jonathan McLean, but Abundant Life. It's, a gospel church, a spirit-filled church. She's going to be released in the glory in this city. There may be some walking in this city, some prayer walking. We don't know. But, you know, the glory of God has to come upon us for us to be bold, or else we're going to be wimps. We're going to be wimps, and we won't
bold
say.
Bold as a lion.
We will have
lion
to be bold
of Judah.
As a lion. A lion of Judah. That's right. And we get that from the Holy Ghost. We have to have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to have boldness.
Mm, that's right.
Peter, when he got the Holy Ghost, he had that boldness. And he was not afraid to speak up and to do go any place that God told him to go. Paul was not afraid to do that, even though if you read about how Paul was persecuted,
Paul was.
And we could maybe share that another time. Persecuted greatly and suffered greatly.
We talked about that last week in Philippians chapter 2 there.
Amen.
And 3.
Amen.
About he gave up everything.
Everything.
He could have been, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He gave up everything.
That's right.
He counted everything else. He called it dung.
Dung. And I want to mention Dr. Bree Keaton. Another place that's persecuted is what Sharon said is the Pygmies.
Oh, yeah.
They're over, and she's going to this to Africa, and she is over there helping them and saving them. They're getting born again. There's how many of them were saved?
Over 70,000 and still counting.
70,000 and counting. And what do? They eat them. But they're becoming Christians. You know, they're not just trash. No, they're not mistakes, those pygmies. They're human beings. And so they're becoming born again. She takes them mattresses and all kinds of things. So she's going to be with us, and she'll share about the persecuted church with the pygmies. And I was thinking, too, when you mentioned first about people that were about healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you that refers to Pastor Gene and myself, because we've been waiting a long time. And Pastor Gene to be healed, he needs a total miracle, because the doctors say there's nothing else that can be done. So, you know, we went for tests for 17 days, and that's, you know, nothing to be done. And now they have him on blood thinner, so... You know, he needs a miracle. What a testimony he would be when he gets a miracle in this city. One touch from God.
Amen.
And, you know, it's been a struggle for us to continue with this radio program and also with the church. But, you know, God takes a little, and he knows that what our hearts are. And the prophetic has got to go forth. And Bree is very prophetic. Yeah. And you said something that made me think about something Margie told me. And perhaps Margie can say this. We use the Lions Church in Stuart, Florida, Pastor Jim Brocious and his wife, Joyce. And Margie was speaking to Sister Joyce about healing.
Yes.
And about miracles and healing. And Margie, could you share that, what she said, and then whatever else the Lord has on your heart to share?
Well, praise the Lord for raising the standard. Yes, Pastor Jim Brocious' wife, Joyce, was speaking to me as she was asking me how Pastor Gene and Donna was doing. And I explained to her how they were doing. And she brought up something very interesting to me, and it helped me in a great way. And her also. She said that as the Lord chooses, the Lord may choose to heal one person. And as they're healed, you can see the glory. People will see the glory that the person is healed. And the one that's been healed will share their testimony. But she said also, she said, Marge, the thing is that we have one person healed, say in a family, but there's another person in the family and they have not been healed. And this was a concern for her. She wasn't understanding in her spirit. So the Lord revealed to her that even though that the person is not healed.
Yet.
yet. Thank you, Pastor Donna. Yet. And that could be a very key word. Even though they are not healed yet, the glory, the manifestations that they are awaiting for, they can still shine the glory, even though they're not healed. They can still be that testimony, because if you let your light shine, you might not see the manifestations, but you still let that glory shine and can still be that testimony despite having the situation still yet in your body. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You know, the Lord works behind the scenes. And that's what I tell Pastor Gene and Donna always. He's working behind the scenes, and the manifestations that we see already, they're shining through in them. They come to church. They don't feel well, but they come. And lo and behold, you see the glory coming forth from their mouth. Even as right here in the station, the glory is shining through in them both.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Did you have anything else you wanted to share, Margie?
Well, I did. How much time, Pastor Donna?
About 5 minutes or less.
Okay, I would like to share about the transfiguration in a different way. I guess Pastor Donna was showing me last night. The word transfiguration, a complete change or form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. Amen. So I thought about a person, you, the whole world, and me, before we came to Jesus. If we go to Romans 3, if we could go there, Romans 3 and 23. Thank you, Father. Now, this is before we come to Jesus. For all, not some, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. Therefore, we are all sinners.
Yep.
Unless we seek the kingdom of God or being born again. Well, how do we get rid of our sins? In John 3, if we could go there. Mm-hmm. John 3. John 3, 5 and 7. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And of course, if we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We are saved by his grace and mercy. God did not punish us, but instead placed the punishment for our sins upon Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Hallelujah.
And then when you invite Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, this wonderful transfiguration begins.
In our heart, doesn't it?
Yes, it's in our heart. In Romans 12.
This is a good altar call here.
1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
That's it.
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What is the renewing of your mind? It's the word of God beginning to change all of our bad habits, thought patterns, the way we talked and how we dressed. He changes us from our worldly ways. In 1 John 2, 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. He teaches us a new and godly way to live.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That's right. Amen. Bob, you have a scripture to read, and then we want to close, and we want to mention also that we have Dr. Bree Keaton with us the Saturday, August the 10th, and that will be at 1 p.m. She will also be at Abundant Life at 9:30 on Sunday. That would be the 11th, right, Sharon? And so I'm going to have you, Sharon, I'm going to have you blow the shofar, Margie. And Sharon, I want you to release the glory. Hallelujah. And Bob's going to read this psalm, and you don't have too long, Bob, so we have 2 minutes.
O Lord,
here, you have to do it loud.
Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Amen. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And his glory is going to cover the whole earth, isn't it? Amen.
That's what the Bible
says.
Praise
God. We have 1 minute, Pastor Gene. Did you have anything you would like to say?
No.
Okay, praise God. Well, we just thank the Lord that for your listeners. And this is also on Facebook if you'd like to watch it again and listen to it again. And we just thank the Lord for all of you. And you join us every Saturday from 12 o'clock till 1 p.m. in the afternoon. We have Shabbat today at 2 p.m. So come and join us at the Alliance Church, amen, at 445 Southeast Osceola Street, amen. So let's close, and we want to say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest. And I'd like for Sharon, release the glory.
We release the glory of the Ruach HaKodesh unto you.
Thank you,
receive,
Lord.
Receive in Yeshua's name.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord.
And we tell you all that are listening to look up, because your redemption draws
nigh.
Amen. And Margie? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. In Jesus' name,
bless
amen.
His holy name.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.
We are